Hello and welcome to the eHotelier podcast, bringing you insights from hotel industry leaders around the world.
I'm your host, Matthew Stevens, and today we'll be talking about the impact of COVID-19 on economics and politics with Peter Jones. Peter Jones is the Dean of the eHotelier Academy and recognised hospitality industry leader in research and education. Welcome, Peter. Thank you for joining us today.
Matthew, thank you very much. Delighted to be here.
Peter, your report, Hospitality in the Post-COVID-19 World, covered a range of topics exploring the impacts of COVID-19 upon the industry. One of those was economics and politics. Politics and politicians seem to be rushing to catch up now. How do you think the changing political and economic imperatives impact on hospitality and tourism now and also moving into the future?
Yes, it's interesting to see. Politicians, of course, are beginning to realise that being a politician is not easy in the time of a crisis. You have to make really hard decisions. And those hard decisions are impacting on people's livelihoods, on people's lives, on businesses. Mm. And hospitality and tourism, in many ways, have been the biggest, in inverted commas, losers of this whole process. Mm. Because irrespective of the country you look at, it is those businesses which are almost the ones which are first to close, last to open, those that actually are impacted the most in terms of the restrictions that are placed on them. Now, sure. There are two things arising from this. First of all, you've got the level of government intervention, which under any other circumstances is unprecedented other than in times of national crisis and wartime, where they're intervening on every single aspect of people's lives, restricting travel, restricting movement, restricting social engagement, and so on. Mm. And, of course, all of that very much impacts on hospitality and tourism as a key sector. Mm. So all their government interventions are having massive effect on those. Whether politicians, I'm not sure initially, and this will be pretty much around the world, the value they placed on hospitality and tourism was not always as high as they would place on what they might consider to be a more, I don't know, appropriate industry. Financial services, for example, motor manufacturer. These always got much, much greater attention in the political arena. However, now, hospitality and tourism gets a lot of attention in the political arena because it is being impacted so badly, and every single intervention the government makes has impact on hospitality and tourism. It doesn't impact on financial services, doesn't impact on the car industry, but it impacts on hospitality and tourism's ability to survive, to generate revenue, to pay taxes, and so on. So there are two dimensions to this. One is the government interventions and the way that that's impacted on society, and the fact that the politicians are rushing to catch up in the sense that they didn't really fully appreciate just what role hospitality and tourism played in society and as a major contribution to the economy. So that's one area. The positive out of that could well be that politicians now are recognizing just how valuable that is, and the fact that they really do need to pay attention to it as a industry sector that in the past they've said, oh, well, they can just get on with it, they'll be okay, we don't need to intervene. I think we're going to have to see more intervention to support the industry in the future if it's going to come back to a similar sort of structural level than it has in the past.
Sure. Well, it's been a very reliable industry in most countries, depending on the size, but it's not much really has impacted the industry until now, until we have a pandemic and people can't travel. Mm. So as a result of these lockdowns in tourism and hospitality, we've seen localism emerging, staycations and people still having a desire or a motivation to meet and to socialise and to travel. Localism is now emerging as key for hospitality businesses. Why do you think it's important, and will it change over time?
I think it will change over time. it was interesting that when I was thinking about the report itself way back in May, you could begin to see at that stage that the whole notion of the global tourism industry in terms of vast numbers of people traveling around the world in terms of it, and enjoying hospitality in their new destination, that has pretty much dried up completely. So you if you want to enjoy hospitality, you've got to do it within your local and within your regional area. The businesses that have really benefited as a result of that, I think, are those businesses where they've attracted a local client base, a strong local resilient client base. They're delivering, they're flexible, they can do things in a different way, and they're being more adaptable to meet their client needs.
So how can hospitality businesses build that on that resilience now? Because it sounds like this open-close cycle is going to continue for some time, where we see governments opening up tourism and hospitality, then we get a spike, and then it all gets shut down again. What should hospitality and tourism businesses be doing to build resilience against those shocks?
I think building the resilience is actually about being flexible. You've got to be able to respond to the different market demands that are taking place. You've got to be adaptable. You've got to be innovative. You've got to look for ways of actually meeting potential demand for your products in many and various different ways. I mean, we've seen all these sort of pubs are now doing takeouts, for example. Cafes are certainly only providing in some instances only able to provide some form of takeout service. So in order to continue to survive, they're having to adapt their product offer to meet the demands and the restrictions that are being placed upon them. So that's helping them to build a degree of resilience in there. Where the problems come in building this resilience is really to do with the current operating models that many of them have and the fixed costs involved in those operating models. The income streams are not sufficient to allow them to necessarily meet all their fixed costs. And so there's got to be some shifts, I think, in terms of the business models to help to improve their resilience, because the nature of the market demand will change. And of course, it is a restricted demand often in the way that you can deliver. The demand might be there, but there's constraints on your delivery mechanism. You can't get the footfall through, for example. You can't turn the covers over. So you can't get the same volume of business as you would have had previously, which is a constraining factor. But where you can build a strong, resilient client base that's loyal, then that gives you a good grounding, I think, and a good ground position from which to build the businesses as we move through the phases of the pandemic.
Sure. So one issue that we are seeing in some markets that are emerging or emerging into recovery now is that there's this pent-up demand for travel. And potentially some savings there that people are now willing to spend on travel, and that's now pushing room rates up in very select locations. So locations that are desirable for domestic travel. Do you think that those destinations with rates going up, do you think that's sustainable, or do you think these are going to be waves of opportunity?
I think we're going to see a whole series of waves of economic opportunity, changes in market demand, changes in consumer confidence. It's going to be like riding a roller coaster. It's not going to be any simple. There's no straight line graphs.
No silver bullets.
And there's no silver bullets. And you've got to be ready to ride that roller coaster. So you've got to be ready to try and, if you like, without being greedy, maximize. If you're being greedy and you try and maximize the revenue when you think you can, people remember that, and that will, you'll lose that loyalty and that local client base. If you can only operate within your own, if you like, perhaps wider community, you've got to look after them. Don't be greedy about it. So, providing you're not doing that, but you're going to have to take advantage of the demand when the demand is there, and you're going to have to use that to to carry you through the troughs that that are inevitable in the whole thing, because you're going to get more government interventions. You might have to lock down again. You might, when you come out of lockdown, it could be a gradual. Whereas what we've seen up until now is that they've gone stop, close everything. Then they've gone whoa, open everything.
Yeah.
Now we're beginning to see a much more graded opening, so that people are trying to control the spread of the virus through only allowing certain types of operations to open for certain periods of time. And I think that is, you've got to be resilient enough to be able to try and cope with those things. But that there is an overarching issue here that is perhaps more to the medium term that we really haven't come to terms with yet. And that's what's going to happen to consumer confidence as we gradually move through. So, yes, we had this pent-up demand because we weren't allowed out, so to speak, classically. You know, we weren't allowed out to play. We're suddenly allowed out to play, so we go barmy.
Revenge now, travel.
Yeah, now I think we're back in again, or we're going to be facing, especially in the Northern Hemisphere, we're going to be facing some really difficult times come January, February, March, even with, you know, the prospect, and we know that vaccine is being delivered even now, but that's not going to have a major impact on any of those markets for some considerable time, because the sheer scale logistics issues of getting the vaccine to everybody, and it doesn't kill the virus, it only makes you immune. So the virus is still there. So you've still got all the issues of the people who haven't been vaccinated, who can contract the virus from you who may have been vaccinated. So you've got all of those issues going on. So you've got, what I can see coming is you've got the huge economic impact really just rolling on now, and it's starting to get bigger and bigger and bigger. We're seeing more and more redundancies. We're seeing more business closures. So, and that, of course, impacts significantly on consumer confidence. So there, where you've got a reduction in consumer confidence, then you're going to get a reduction in demand, because people are going to be saying to themselves, I'm not sure what's going to happen to me. Am I going to be in a position where I'm in employment in 3 months' time? Am I going to be able to pay my mortgage? Am I going to be able to pay my rent? And that is going to depress discretionary spend, and as we know, hospitality and tourism relies on discretionary spend.
Certainly a challenging time ahead. Thank you. Thank you very much for joining me today, Peter, and for the insights into the economic and political impacts of COVID-19 on the industry, and particularly your insights and thoughts on the future. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Matthew, thank you very much. As always, great pleasure to talk to you. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Peter. Bye.
To build your own career or boost your team's performance from basic skills to executive training, visit academy.ehotelier.com. Get 20% off all courses and certifications using the code PODCAST. Thank you for joining us. Check out the latest episodes at ehotelier.com and make sure to subscribe for the latest insights from industry leaders around the world.